I know it's how important we've all gotten to think that our snack is immediately after the service. It's kind of nice. It's the time that we spend fellowshipping and encouraging and being part of one another. And it's even biblical, as we're going to see today. Now, we're actually not going to be in Isaiah today. I know, amazing. You're all like surprised. Like, what? What's going on, Pastor? It's Pentecost Sunday. So we are in Acts. We are going to do Acts chapter 2 today. And some of you were here for Sunday school this morning, and you had some pretty nifty hats. And those of you who didn't come here for Sunday school this morning and didn't get a nifty hat, too bad. You should have come. You missed it. Now, just so you know, on July 10th, we're going to have another family Sunday school, which is kind of be a little bit special. We're going to do things just a little bit different, a little bit more of a family focus, and a little more interactive. To give you an example, when I read the passage this morning, we had fireworks going off behind me. Okay, we decided not to reenact that here inside for the regular service today, as our fire insurance was something that we don't want to see how good it is. So, so we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 2. On July 10th, we'll be actually looking at the Shema, which is in Deuteronomy, which is Hear, O God. So that'll be next month, July 10th. Today, we're in Acts chapter 2. And we're looking at the Pentecost of the first church. It said, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Let's stop for just a second. Think tornado. You know, when a tornado comes, some of you have maybe heard one, it kind of sounds like a freight train. They didn't know what a freight train was, but they did know what tornadoes and violent winds were. Okay, they didn't have those. But think, that's the kind of sound and volume and what were going on. Okay? They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came down to rest on each of them. You notice these hats that some people are wearing? They got little flames on them. So I had the fireworks going off behind me. This is the Holy Spirit coming down. So all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each one of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, and Phrygia, and Pamphylia, and Egypt, and fine. You can come get a battery if you want. Okay. And visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they've had too much wine. Then Peter stood up, and the 11 raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I am saying. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy it. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood, and before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, signs, wonders, which God did among you through him. And you yourselves know this man was handed over to you by God, set purpose and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also live in hope, because he will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have been made known to me by the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Brothers, I tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew what God had promised him on oath, that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses to the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and he's poured out on what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into heaven, yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool at my feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people had heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord God will call. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 300 were added to their number that day. And we'll stop there. About 3,000 were added at the number that day. Wow. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we read your word. God, it's so hard for us sometimes to read it and realize that this, which occurred 2,000 years ago, is for us here today. I mean, you're speaking as powerfully, if not even more powerfully, to us today as you were then. Lord, open our eyes and our minds and our hearts to receive your word this day. Lord, open us to receive the infilling of your Holy Spirit. Lord, empower your church for ministry this day. Speak to us, that you might speak through us, that others might hear. Lord, I pray that as I come and preach this morning, that your Holy Spirit would indeed be upon me in power and in truth. Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be upon me like fire, and my heart would burn with compassion for the lost and with the message you have for all who are here today. Lord, might each person here hear your word just as clearly as those who heard it being spoken in their own language that day. Lord, might each person here hear your word in their heart. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Quite a big chunk of scripture, a lot going on here. A couple things I want to point out.
One of the things that is often pointed to in this passage is people say that this is a one-time event. This is not what's referred to as a normative passage of Scripture. I want to disagree with that. I think we see it time and time again throughout the New Testament that God does continue to bring His power and His Holy Spirit upon His church. Now, it might only have been the one time that we had visible flames of fire coming down, leastwise that we know that's been reported. It could have happened since then. I don't know. But I do know that the Holy Spirit continues to touch His people, His church, in power. And that is normative. This is the way the church is supposed to be. The church is supposed to live with the power of Christ in it, with the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's what we promised, that when Jesus came, the Holy Spirit would come. In fact, they said you would be baptized with fire. We had that in Acts 1:4 and Luke 3:16. If you want to look to what, I'm sorry, 1:5, not 1:4. That's what I get for trying to read without my glasses on. Acts 1:5, it says, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father promised, which you have heard me speak of. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So this is what he's talking about. The Holy Spirit's going to come down on him. That's what was prophesied. That's what Jesus said would happen. The Holy Spirit's going to come. And in that Gospel of John, time and again, he's telling that the Holy Spirit's going to be coming. In Luke, throw our Luke passage up there. Luke 1:3:16. I knew it. So we heard off. Oh, wrong. Where's my marker? Sorry, I seem to have misplaced my marker this morning. My pages are all sticking together. Okay. In Luke, I put down Luke 3:16. Is that right? No, that's not the right passage. What did I want? I'm sorry. I wanted... I know that's what's on the screen, but this... Okay. That's because I'm not looking in Luke. I'm looking at... I was going to the wrong page. Never mind. But that's what I want. I kept going to John 3:16. Going, no, that's not right. Luke 3:16. I said I lost my page markers. Apparently I'm struggling this morning. John answered them all, I baptize you with water. But one more powerful than I will come, and the things of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And that was John the Baptist speaking about Jesus. And this is what occurred. What we read about today is the Holy Spirit falling on the church in power. People, the church is to be filled with the power of God. This is not supposed to be, this is not just a one-time event. As Paul traveled around and led people to Christ, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. He came and he found those who had come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, but they hadn't heard about the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And he prayed for them to receive the Holy Spirit because the church was meant to have the Holy Spirit too. It wasn't meant to be just. speaking about what was going on, but the church is meant to have the power of the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 1, and it reads, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance, the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. That's the power. That's the power that God has given his church. Who's his church? If you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, raise your hand. If you have your hand up, you are God's church. And so is every other person around the world who's received Jesus as Lord and Savior. That is the church, big C. And each and every one of us, when we received Christ as Lord and Savior, was marked with the Holy Spirit. And we have that power of the Holy Spirit just waiting there. Now on Pentecost Sunday, it came down in a visible fashion. And they had this wind, this roar, and people came out going, wow, what's going on here? All these Galilean guys, they're talking in different languages. You know, everybody can understand. Oh boy, they must be drunk. Okay. How many of you have ever actually heard somebody drunk communicate better than when they were sober? Yeah. There's always one in the crowd. Seriously. You get a bunch of drunk guys together and you say, okay, now preach the word. The likelihood of everybody saying, wow, I didn't know you could speak. We ran through like a dozen different countries there. All these different languages. You know, you got Egypt, you got Phrygia, Pamphylia, Libya, Rome, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, Mesopotamia. All these different languages. And these guys, we're just a bunch of fishermen and Galileans, so they had a distinctive accent. Just like you can tell if somebody's come from the south because of the kind of drawl. I'm not very good at it, but Rachel can do a better job than I can. She's giving me the eye. Maybe you're like Donna from out east and they wash their clothes. Okay, we need to buy new smooth batteries. Okay. Change the channel. Yeah, well, my finger bumped it. Bad pastor. Blaming other people for my mistakes. And I'm really off topic now. Okay. The church is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what was going on. We got these guys from all these countries speaking, and people are hearing their language. And they're being moved. It was indeed the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, Peter gets up and speaks, and he preaches. And he does not hold back. Now, twice, he confronts these people and tells them that they're the ones that crucified the Messiah, the Christ. Nobody likes it when somebody points out our flaws to us. Nobody enjoys it when you say, you're a sinner. But here's the thing here. When they were cut to the heart, when they finally did come to the point, I am just a mess this morning. In verse 38, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you. First of all, in order to repent, you got to know what you're repenting from. You got to recognize that who aren't you following? I'm not following Christ. I'm not following God. How do I know that? Well, I know that because I crucified Him. How did I crucify Him? Through my sin. Now these people, some of them may have actually been part of the crowd that said, crucify Him, crucify Him. But nonetheless, none of them stood up and stopped it. Of course, then neither did the disciples. So, we don't want to be casting too many stones here. But it was indeed. We need to recognize that we need to repent. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay? You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That power is going to be yours. The same thing that causes these Galileans to be able to speak in your language, it's going to be you. And you can do whatever it is that God is instructing you to do and is empowering you to do. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And He warned them about their lost nature. He warned them to be free from this generation. And He pleaded with them. Let me ask you this. How many times have you pleaded with somebody to know Christ? Sometimes, I've been one of those people who, from time to time, maybe had less compassion than I ought, and just said, you shook my head at somebody and said, yep, they're going to hell. We all heard of hell, fire, and brimstone sermons, but we're supposed to have heaven fire and brimstone removing sermons. Because we're powered by the Holy Spirit and we're supposed to be showing people, yes, you're lost, but here is how we're saved. Immediately presented with that you crucified Christ was, this is what you do, believe on Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you will be saved. You will receive the Holy Spirit. That's the promise. That's what Peter preached that day. That's what he pleaded with the people for. He just didn't give a presentation and say, well, take it or leave it, it's up to you. He said, no, you need to do this. He felt it. He understood how important it was that they believed the message that he was preaching. When you plead with somebody, where's it coming from? It's coming from your heart. You're telling somebody, I care about you. I don't want to see you as a victim. That's why a parent pleads with their child. Don't go out and get drunk and drive. Don't do that. You just don't want to say, yeah, you know, you do that, you're going to get in trouble. No, you plead with him. You say, no, I can't take getting that phone call. Well, you know what? All the world that doesn't know Jesus, they're in a worse situation than driving drunk. Why don't we plead with them? Please. Please be safe. Repent of your sin. and know Christ as Lord and Savior. You know what happens when we do that? The Lord brings people to salvation. About 3,000 were added to that number that day. I'm going to drop to the end of chapter 2. I'm going to read the last few verses, 42 through the end, chapter 2. And it reads, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. Many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to everyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Why? Because the church had been filled and empowered by His Holy Spirit. Because the church was meeting in community and doing that which it was supposed to do. See, none of this happened while they were all by themselves, each one off on their own private mountaintop. This happened because the church came together and prayed. They were in a prayer meeting when this happened. They're saying, "God, speak to us." They did. They devoted themselves to God, to following Him and His teachings and the teachings of His disciples. To fellowship, to breaking of bread, communion with one another. To prayer. They devoted themselves to prayer. The gospel was presented with power. They just didn't walk around saying, "Well, you know, God's better." They demonstrated it. They lived lives that were changed because of it. They impacted other people's lives. Somebody needed prayer. They went and they prayed for them. People were healed. They asked for God's intervention, and it happened. And through that, then the Lord added daily to their number. See, it's the Lord that brings the increase as long as we, His church, are faithful in doing that which we've been told to do. Which is, share the gospel message. And we're not supposed to share the gospel message, but something we're supposed to share with power. With the power of the Holy Spirit living in changed hearts and lives. If you have the Holy Spirit within you, you have a testimony that is life-changing. And you can share that with anybody. You can show them how God's power has changed your life. And you don't think that testimony isn't going to touch hearts and minds? They'll hear it. And then the Holy Spirit can come on them and work in their hearts to bring them to the place where they will turn and receive Jesus. See, repent from their sin. That's what turn is from. We're turning from sin. We're turning to God. They can only do that if they hear it. They're only going to hear it if we live a life that demonstrates what we're saying. You know what? I can't live a godly life absent of the power of the Holy Spirit. And neither can you. God sent His Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost for His church. That is normative. He told His church, He came and met with His church when they were together, when they were praying together, gathered together in fellowship. That is normative. That is the way the church is supposed to do. And He added to their number daily as they lived out, Spirit-filled, Spirit-empowered lives. People, that is normative. That is what is supposed to be happening in the church daily. So let's do it. God has empowered us. His Holy Spirit has fallen us in power. Let's step out in faith. Let's make a little noise. Amen. Preach it. Let's make some noise for God. People should be saying, what are they doing over there? Oh, they're just a bunch of crazy drunk folk. No, we're not. It's the Holy Spirit that's filling us. It's the Holy Spirit that's moving here. That should be our response. And it should be true. Let's make it true. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you did indeed send your Holy Spirit. You promised in your word time and time again that you would give us the Holy Spirit as the counselor, but also, Lord, for empowerment, that you would make available to us your power, your strength for life and for ministry. Lord, might we grab onto it with both hands, and might we take advantage of it for the in the ministry opportunities that you give us, Lord. Might we not attempt to do this in our own strength, but might we lean entirely and fully upon the power of the Holy Spirit as we seek to take the gospel message to those who are lost. And Lord, might we warn them of their lostness. Might we point out to them where indeed they have fallen short. But Lord, when we do that, might we be doing so with a soft heart when there's pleading with them that they might hear your gospel. That they, too, might we give them this message that is full of love and hope. It's not one of condemnation, but it's one that all who call on the name of Jesus will be saved. Lord, might we preach your word in such a manner that those who hear will call upon you and be saved. And that you, Lord, would add to our number daily. In Jesus' name, amen.